Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. Marlene, you read the recent survey conducted by LexisNexis Legal and Professional, where 39% of lawyers, 46% of law students, and 45% of consumers agreed that generative AI tools will significantly transform the practice of law. So the survey also revealed that the top five ways law firms and corporate counsel are currently or would like to use generative AI tools include increasing efficiency, researching matters, drafting documents, streamlining work, and document analysis. However, the survey also highlighted some concerns about the ethical implications of using generative AI tools in the legal industry.
It's a very interesting and timely survey, and we've brought in one of the people behind the survey to come on and talk with us about it. So we'd like to welcome Jeff Reel, Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer, the CTO for LexisNexis. Jeff, welcome to the Geek in Review.
Well, it's great to be here, Marlene and Greg. Glad to help out.
Jeff, before we get to the survey, we saw that you moderated a standing room only panel about generative AI on the Monday before Legal Week. So congratulations on that. Tell us a little bit about your discussion and what were some of the key takeaways of that panel? Why did it draw such big crowds?
Sure. Well, first of all, it was a standing only crowd because we got started. There was four on the panel and myself. And you can look out into the audience and you can actually see people standing outside the auditorium.
Craning their necks.
They were trying to get in. And what we had to do at one point, about 30 minutes into the session, is they actually stopped the session to remove a wall so that they could open up a second auditorium.
Fantastic.
So it was extremely popular, and there were a lot of folks there that were very, very interested. You know, there's been so much hype about ChatGPT, as we'll talk a little bit about the survey. A lot of people have been using it, and they're getting familiar with it. And so there was a ton of interest, and we had some interesting speakers there as well. The panelists included Danielle Benecki, who is the founder and global head of machine learning at Baker McKenzie. So large law firms are hiring people to lead up machine learning within their law firms. Aaron Cruz is SVP of analytics and AI at United Lex. Foster Sayers is general counsel from Pramada. And Alona Logvinoka is associate general counsel for McKenzie & Co. So really strong panelists, really know this space a lot. So we spent a bit of time in that session first talking about what is generative AI, including, you know, large language models. We highlighted the differences between GPT-3, 3.5, 4. We talked about some other suppliers of large language models like Google and Facebook. And we spent a time just talking a bit about how those large language models work and got into high-level description of neural networks and things like that. And then we transitioned into the legal use cases, and people were really, really interested in that. And in fact, the people in the audience were offering up their views of use cases. Some things like training came up, and so there were a lot of different areas that were brought up. And then we spent some time talking about the ethical, legal, and privacy concerns. And as you can imagine, a lot of different views on what the good things about it and the potential challenges and how it impacts the, you know, internal firm in terms of risk management and things like that. And then we talked a little bit about the future and where we thought things would be going. So there was definitely a lot of interest in it. And, you know, some of the key takeaways that we had was, number one, there are limitations with the technology. I think we've all heard about hallucinations and that it can be very confident in the way it gives answers, even when they're wrong. That the currency of some of these base models, for example, even GPT-4, which was announced just a couple of weeks ago, the data that was used for training that model cuts off at September of 2021. So that's the level of currency. So current information you're not going to get from those models. They don't always provide the source of their answers. So you get these answers and you know, where did it come from and can I trust it? And then there's also the legal and ethical concerns and bias and other things like that that come up with these kind of models. So, you know, we spent some time talking about that. We also spent some time talking about whether or not law firms should be considering creating their own models, or more importantly, do they need to understand how this stuff works to make decisions about whether or not and how to use the technology? Then the other thing we did spend a lot of time talking about is there are privacy concerns, there are ethical issues, and you need to wade through all of those to make decisions on how your firm or your legal department may use these new technologies as they're coming out. But fascinating conversations. It lasted a full 3 hours, so a lot of interest in that topic, for sure.
Yeah, you probably could have filled up 8 hours of time.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Very few people had left by that time, but boy, it's a lot of interaction for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are seeking guidance, and so I can totally understand that they came here to sort of hear what other people had to say, because you do see some firms that are forging ahead, but I think there's a lot of folks in firms that aren't quite sure what to do with it yet, and are seeking that kind of advice.
Absolutely the case.
Well, Jeff, you've been at LexisNexis now for more than 15 or 16 years, and obviously this isn't your first rodeo to witness the introduction and implementation of, some of the game-changing technologies that have worked its way into business and the practice of law. So how would you characterize the enthusiasm that we're seeing for things like GPT and large language models compared to other major tech innovations over that same 16 years?
Well, I think there's been a number of technologies, as you mentioned. I've been with the company 16 years, and public cloud is one of those examples of new opportunities for accelerating innovation. And so that was game changing. We all use our iPhones, and we're using that for all kinds of different purposes. And so that's another game-changing technology. But I do believe that these large language models, generative AI, are going to be game-changing, particularly for the legal industry. So I think the enthusiasm is really, really justified. And, going back to even 2010, when legal analytics came about, Lex Machina, a company that we acquired a number of years ago, that was a big change as well. And around 2018, we started using BERT, which was one of the first large language models that Google put out at that time. And at that time, we're kind of experimenting, we're learning about it. But now with ChatGPT and all the work being done there, it's truly transformative. So I think it's going to have a significant impact on not only the legal industry, but all kinds of different industries going forward.
So we're going to get into the survey now.
Okay.
LexisNexis recently conducted a survey of lawyers, law students, and consumers on the use of generative AI in the legal field. The survey shows that a majority of lawyers and law students believe generative AI will change the way law is taught and studied. How do you see this happening, and what impact do you think it will have on legal education?
Yeah, so it's interesting because we did this workshop and we asked people in the audience what they thought. And, again, a lot of hands went up when we asked these questions. And it was pretty consistent that a lot of people do believe that this is going to change the way legal is practiced, as well as how law school students learn the law. And so, examples that were discussed is, drafting, writing briefs, and doing legal research. So there's no doubt it is going to change the way that legal students, law school students, learn how to practice law. And there was actually a question at the end of the workshop by a gentleman that says, well, aren't you concerned that new students aren't even going to know how to write because this technology can do a lot of that for them? We did talk about that, and there are lots of other examples of new technologies that have come out. And at first, there were a lot of concerns about that technology, but over time, people got more competent in it. The quality of the technology continues to evolve and change, and you do see much more adoption of those technologies in practice. So a lot of discussion about how it will in fact change the way our law school students do learn the law and the practice of law.
So what do you think are going to be some of the more practical use cases for large language models like GPT? And more specifically, how do you think a vendor like LexisNexis is going to use this sort of technology in its offerings, because as much fun as it is to work with ChatGPT and the new models that are coming out, they're not trained on legal product.
Exactly.
You know, they're trained on the internet and everything that that entails. And so there's not that trust that you get when you work with a vendor like LexisNexis. So what is it that you're going to do to make lawyers more comfortable in using tools like this?
Well, I think in the end, lawyers, as an example, are responsible for the work product that they produce. And so I think you can use those tools to help accelerate and make you more effective, more productive. But in the end, you have to fact check, you have to modify, you have to make it specific to your client. So I think in the end, it's really up to the individual to make sure that whatever they're producing is accurate, has the right information in it, that a lot of the issues that we talk about bias and things like that are not incorporated into the work product that is produced. A lot of the examples you gave earlier around legal search, document drafting, document analysis, summarization. So, you know, those are clearly areas that we're looking at. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we've been using this technology since BERT came out in 2018. And we actually created a Lexis Answers, a product offering that is based on embeddings and some of that technology. And we've continued to evolve, and we've got products like Fact and Issue Finder, Brief Analysis, Context, which uses NLP and machine learning algorithms, Litigation Analytics that Lex Machina offers, and, you know, there's different types of technologies. But one thing that we always start with is, what problem are we trying to solve? What is the opportunity to use these technologies? And sometimes you don't need the latest and greatest ChatGPT or GPT-4. We found in many cases when we do our testing that GPT-3 or 3.5 is completely fine, or even BERT. And so, you know, we start with the customer problem. We evaluate the different technologies. Oftentimes, these large language models are combined with other technologies, for example, the search engine or graph technologies, to really make sure that the output from those large language models is checked and that you can find the source of that, the answer, and make sure that that answer is correct. So we leverage the fact that we have all this content. We have over 144 billion documents in our repository. A lot of the information that we have from legal editors over the last 30 years, the metadata that we've created through our technology over the years, that can help fine-tune these models so that they give more effective answers. So that's the way that we think about it. We've got dozens of use cases that we're evaluating now and we're testing, and you're going to see a lot coming out in the near future, that some of which just makes a lot of the things that we already have better, and then there will be new product offerings as well.
Well, Jeff, you know, over the past, I'd say, 10, 12 years now, we've had a number of AI tools that have been created and launched into legal. And some of those are, you know, through the major vendors. Some of those are through startups. But I think the hype that we've seen over the past 3 or 4 months since OpenAI came out with this ChatGPT model was the fact that, you know, the AI that we've dealt with in the past decade has been kind of behind the scenes. It's not something that we've really interacted with. It's something that we're being told is going on in the background, but there's no, you know, there's that not that interaction. There's not that building of a conversation. And quite frankly, OpenAI's creating it as a chat bot, mm-hmm. essentially, was brilliant. I think that really engaged a lot of people. So how do you see going forward how legal vendors like yourself need to implement that model where there's much more of a interaction going on between the end user, the lawyer, the legal professional, and the product that they're using to, you know, do legal research or draft documents?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I to your point, it is extraordinarily clever. I mean, just to remember and add context, and you can feed it additional prompts to clarify the answer. And so I think the tools that are that have been created to fine-tune the models, the human interaction to reinforce the, with the reinforcement learning, there's a lot of opportunity to leverage their base models, add a lot of additional kind of legal ease to it, and train those models or fine-tune those models for legal purposes. But back to your original question around interaction, we absolutely see an opportunity for that in our space for sure.
Jeff, the survey also highlights concerns about the ethical implications of using generative AI in the legal industry. How is Lexis addressing these concerns and ensuring responsible use of this technology?
You know, that's a really important question. And you know, we've always taken security and privacy very seriously. We know our customers are very concerned about that. So, you know, just from a pure security and privacy perspective, we build in all the safeguards. When we look at the vendors that we use for large language models, we make sure that that data is protected and safe. And not only our IP is protected, but our customers' IP is protected as well. But I'll also highlight that we do have internal RELX responsible AI principles, and I'll just kind of walk through those really quickly. First of all, we consider the real-world impact of our solutions on people, and that's not only our customers and end users, but also our internal staff. We've got legal editors, and so when you start thinking about automation, well, what does that mean for their job, and how do you treat your internal staff as you're creating these solutions? You know, the second thing is we take action to prevent the creation or reinforcement of unfair bias. And so looking at the outcomes of using these technologies, validating that we do not believe there's any bias built into the results of that. And over time, we have to continue to check those solutions to make sure bias isn't introduced over time as well. The third thing is we can explain how our solutions work. You know, you start talking about neural networks, it's a bit of a black box. So you know there's an answer, but you're not sure exactly how that answer was derived. So one of the things that we're really, really careful about is that we do have some traceability to be able to provide, you know, how did we come to this conclusion and what, wherever possible, point back to the original case or the legislation to show that that is in fact cited and there's real world specific examples of how that answer came about. In all cases, whether we're using our legal expertise to help train the models or to review the outcomes of the products and for example, search relevance or the answers that come out of a Q&A session, we make sure that there is human oversight. We're not just completely relying on the technology to do this. And then last but not least, we respect the privacy and we champion robust data governance. So making sure we understand how these different data sets that we have come together, that we're maintaining accuracy of those up-to-date information. And so those are areas that we have invested in. It's built into our development processes. So, you know, it's not just writing the software, it's also validating the outcomes of the solutions that we provide.
So I was going to ask a question, Jeff, when, you know, you're talking about using generative AI, and I mean, you know, Lexis is a probably tried and true partner for many firms for many years. And, you know, so the, you know, the InfoSec testing is probably something that isn't happening on a regular basis all the time because it's already been done. But now that you're doing more of this generative AI, I mean, do you have firms kind of asking the questions that you were talking about in terms of, you know, your core pillars of you know, how you approach generative AI and the ethics?
Yeah, to answer your question, yes, we do. But we're always testing. So a lot of that testing is through automation. A lot of that testing is through our legal experts that we have internal to our organization. There is this concept called drift in data models. And over time, based on the data that feeds those models, your answers can start to stray and drift away from the accuracy. So, you know, part of those ethics is, you know, going back and retesting these models continuously. And so we have expected results. We retest those models both in an automated way and through human experts to make sure that they continue to provide the answers. And when we introduce new technology, we do the same thing. And one example of that is we do something called A-B testing. So as we're rolling out something new, we will start with a small set of customers to make sure and get their feedback along the way. And we check just the outcomes of their interactions to see, is it really providing the answers? Is it really helping them in their workflow as we're expecting it to? If we find that it isn't, we can quickly pull that back. And so if we find that it is, then we can start to expand it to a broader and broader customer base. So, you know, we start small, we test it, we test it with real customers, we get their feedback, and then we can expand it from there. But we are getting more and more of those questions as we do launch these type of products. But, you know, like I said, we've been using AI for a number of years. Even 16 years ago when I first joined, we were using NLP before anybody was really even calling it NLP. We were doing it to enrich our data, to identify entities like attorneys and law firms, et cetera. So, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and I think our customers have built confidence in the solutions that we provide.
You know, I think at this point, there's an expectation that pretty much every product that lawyers and other legal professionals are going to use over the next, you know, few months to years are going to integrate this generative AI into those products. And I imagine it's going to be across the board. But at the same time, you know, we need to make sure that everyone feels confident in the ability to use the tools, that they're not going to be sharing information with others that we don't need to. And so what do you see as the role that Lexis will play in helping evolve these tools and their uses into the future? And I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit already, but what are some of the other potential uses do you see for generative AI tools in the legal industry?
Yeah, I think we talked about some of those already, but again, we've been in this industry a long time. We know our customers very well. Our development process include discovery to understand, you know, what are the real pain points for the different users of our products. We have lots of great assets, including the 144 billion documents I mentioned before, all of the metadata that we've created over the years. All of that positions us very well to really take advantage of these technologies and to ensure that they're producing the expected results. So we've got a machine where we're taking in new data, millions of documents a day, and we enrich that data. We've got legal expertise built internally. We've created knowledge graphs that connect judges to cases, to attorneys, to law firms, to outcomes. And so we've got this huge amount of information that we can use along with these large language models to solve new problems as they develop, you know, doing document analysis, coming up with new alternative clauses for a contract, you know, helping summarize documents quickly. So when somebody's doing legal research, they get their answers as quickly as possible. Combining different data sets that we have, including dockets and cases and the legislative materials and expert witnesses, to provide that critical information that is similar to the case that I'm researching. And so we're very well positioned to take advantage of these technologies and really combine it with our capabilities and our data and our legal expertise to really solve new use cases, to make existing use cases even better.
Jeff, I think we're seeing a lot of significant movement from smaller companies to jump in and implement a number of things with the AI tools that are now available to them. And so, you know, for a larger company like yourself, do you see that you are nimble enough to start implementing these things into your larger products? Is there going to be a much longer timeline that it's going to take for you to make sure that, you know, you're not undermining all of the faith and trust that you've built up over the years in order to kind of keep up with some of the smaller startups or smaller legal information providers that are out there that are just kind of jumping in with both feet when it comes to generative AI?
Yeah, I think first of all, I applaud innovation. And so you've got a lot of legal startups. Harvey is an example of a new tool that's out there. You've got other companies that I was at Legal Week last week, and almost every vendor has AI or ChatGPT. You know, they're talking about it now. So that's awesome. It's great to see the interest in the innovation. You know, obviously, you know, we think there's a huge opportunity with this technology, and we're looking at all kinds of different use cases. As I mentioned, we've already implemented solutions using large language model, including BERT. We've used GPT-3. We've used 3.5. We're testing 4.0 as we speak. But again, we have a very high expectation. We like to say that our services are professional grade, so we want to make sure they're well tested. We want to make sure customers have that expectation that we're worrying about security and privacy and making sure that those answers are correct. So, you know, we're moving quickly. We're looking at dozens of use cases. You know, I think larger companies can get complacent, but I can assure you that's not the case with us. We're really excited about this, and we've got most of our data scientists looking at not only this technology, but other technologies that are available to advance in our product offerings.
I just want to go back to a question that I asked earlier and ask, do you see Lexis as being able to play a role in helping law firms get that, you know, kind of reduce that barrier to entry when it comes to using AI tools with their own information or integrating it into the network that the law firm has itself or into the practice of law that's related to their own attorneys? What kind of role do you see Lexis is playing to reduce that barrier to entry?
Absolutely. I think that's certainly an opportunity for us to really help law firms. During the workshop, there was quite a bit of discussion about this because, you know, these solutions are costly. Takes a lot of compute to work with these models. And so it's not inexpensive. And there were a lot of questions about, do I need to hire data scientists? Do I need to have, you know, a machine learning expert on my staff? And, you know, what I said was, I do believe that there are going to be providers like LexisNexis who are going to be not only providing services like we do with a lot of the content that we have, but working with firms to help bring their content into the same, to get the same benefit. You know, to your point, particularly smaller law firms, there's just no way. And but larger law firms that have more capabilities, I do believe that there are going to be solutions that come out. And even these large language models are going to get easier and easier to use. There's been so much progress since, you know, GPT-3 was announced last November. You can expect that to continue going forward. And so using these tools, I believe, are going to be easier, or it will be easier, and, you know, the cost will come down over time. But today, it is very expensive, and so there is a role that we can play to help in this space.
So, Jeff, I know we've been asking you several future forward questions, but we're going to ask you one more before we go. We'd like you to take out your crystal ball and peer into the future for us and tell us how generative AI tools will be used and what effect they'll have on the practice of law in the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's a tough question, because if you would ask me, you know, 2 years ago, I would have said we would be where we are today, because it is changing so fast. And I do believe this is truly transformative. I do believe it's going to have a significant impact on the practice of law. I believe there's going to be a lot of new use cases, but a lot of the areas that we already talked about, you know, those are just developing now. So you're going to see significant enhancements, significant innovations in this space. I do not think it's going to replace lawyers, but it's going to augment what they do.
I was going to ask, what do you think it would do to jobs? Like, you know, what types of new jobs might we be seeing? Not that attorneys are going away, but what types of new things would we see?
I do think it's, we talked a little bit about it. I do believe that you're going to see law firms with more data scientists. I do think that, you know, data and combining your internal data with other sources of data are going to be an important, you know, factor going forward. So there are going to be new roles. And we've seen this with other technologies over time, that people are always concerned about new technologies, eliminating all these jobs. But it always seems like on the other end of that, there's all these new roles that come out, new positions. And just going back 5 or 6 years ago, we had a few data scientists, but nothing like we have today. So a lot of that is shifting over time. And so, same is going to be the case in law. What we see is that, you know, some of the mundane work that has been done in the past is going to be replaced. You won't be doing that, but what we see is happening is lawyers are going to be able to spend more time with their clients, working on more strategic work, and helping to build their businesses. And so there will be, you know, certain tasks that will get a lot easier. They will be replaced. But, you know, we see one of the things that did come up in the discussion in the workshop is, I think somebody mentioned that, you know, this technology isn't going to replace lawyers, but it lawyers that use this technology will replace other lawyers. And so if you're behind the curve and you're not taking advantage of this, you're not going to be as competitive to other firms or other, corporate legal departments. So great opportunity to leverage these technologies, a great opportunity to shift the work to be more strategic. And so that's the way kind of we see this evolving. But man, 5 years out, it's going to be a new frontier. There's no doubt about it, given the pace of change that we're seeing here.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're spot on that. We're going to see a number of data-centric jobs just probably explode in the legal industry. And it's going to be a little bit different than I think what we've had before, but I think some of that skill set will translate. And again, you're not the first to say that a lawyer plus AI will replace a lawyer without AI. I think that's pretty much a common understanding now, and those that don't get it may end up being left behind as we evolve. So I think a lot of it's going to be, you know, people are just going to have to be very flexible in how they approach things going forward. And, you know, some of the things that you're doing today may shift as we apply AI and how you have to do your job tomorrow.
We've seen that internal to our company as well. So somebody that used to be a legal editor is now a subject matter expert, part of these agile teams that are creating these solutions. So exactly the case that you just mentioned.
Well, Jeff Reel, Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer for LexisNexis, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I'm sure we could have also continued having a conversation for another 8 hours. It is a pleasure having you on.
My absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And of course, thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen to the Geek & Review podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I can be found at GabeBauerM on Twitter.
And I can be reached at Glambert on Twitter. Jeff, how about you? If someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way?
They can search me on LinkedIn for Jeff Reel, R-E-I-H-L, and don't hesitate to reach out.
And you can also leave us a voicemail on the Geek & Review hotline at 713-487-7821. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, Marlene, I will talk with you later.
All right, bye.
back.